The cloud. Hey everyone, this is episode 93 of the Top Shelf Podcast, and we have downsized for one episode. Jose, we want to say, you know, we wish you the best of luck and God bless everything that happens in your personal life, but I know you'll be back with us shortly. But I've had the pleasure of being joined by Joshua Gurney, as usual, one of the co-founders of our illustrious group. Josh, what's going on, man?
What's up, Boo Boo? Sending positive vibes out to Jose, man.
100%, for sure. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny because this episode is going to be focused on confrontation in the workplace. You know, Josh and I spent our whole career up until last October in the restaurant business. So we're going to focus on confrontations in the restaurant business. But Josh and I literally just went through a minor confrontation with each other. We were discussing, our relationship over the last couple of days. And it brings things into perspective because we just did it. We just discussed it with maturity, level-headedness, and laughter. But when we get into the restaurant business, when we have to deal with guests and our clientele and our employees, sometimes it doesn't allow us to keep that level of calmness. And it escalates so hard, dude. Like, I remember, I'm going to tell you a story. When I got transferred from you, I went to the Walpole. It was one of my first weeks there. I tell the story all the time because I'll never forget it, where a guy got an undercooked cheeseburger. No one's fault. He ordered it medium rare. It came out medium rare, in my opinion, right? And I get to the table. He's by himself with a kid in a high chair. And he is screaming at me so effing hard, Josh, and he has the cheeseburger in his hand and he is squeezing the cheeseburger. I don't know why, but the juices are dripping down his arm and landing on his poor kid's head. Like, he didn't even understand what he was doing when he was squeezing that cheeseburger. I had to slide the high chair where the kid was at a couple inches over so the juices of that cheeseburger would stop dripping on that kid's head. I felt like so bad for the kid. The guy was just an asshole, and
so you moved the kid for him though.
I moved the kid forward because he didn't realize he didn't even realize what the fuck he was doing. He was just doing it. He was a squeeze.
He was just pissed.
So mad at me.
He was pissed.
Yeah, he was having such a bad day. Maybe he didn't want to spend time with his kid. I don't know what the deal was, his wife or his ex-wife or whatever. Gave him a hard time, baby mama. But he was so mad at me because the kitchen cooked his burger right. He took it out on his kid by squeezing those juices over his head. And those are the type of things I want to talk about today. Like, you know, what we've dealt with, how to deal with it, what we learned from it, stuff like that. And that's just one story. And listen, 25 years, you have been in it a little bit longer than I have. We have stories for days. This show could go on for probably an hour and a half if we want longer than that. But we're going to keep it short and just kind of get it down to the nitty gritty. But Jesus Christ, the amount of stories that I personally have about confrontation with guests is endless. I don't know about you.
I think you have more with guests or with employees?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Here's the deal. Is guests want to be heard. The guests, when they have a gripe most of the time, and I got, you know what? I got two stories I'm going to tell during this episode that when I was working with you that stick out of my head. But guests want to, in my opinion, guests want to be heard. They want their voice heard. Employees just want to bitch to bitch because they think that because they bitch, we're going to change things.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
Which right. Doesn't always work out that way. Because you bitch, it honestly makes me look at you in a different light. One of my biggest things ever was if I'm not talking to you, or if I'm not reprimanding you, if I'm not giving you compliments, if I'm not doing this, that means you're doing a good job to me. If I don't have to confront you, if I don't have to talk to you, you're doing a good job and that's the end of it. Do your thing. If I have to constantly come up to you and talk to you, then we have a problem, right? So when employees who have issues, quote unquote issues, and come up to us, for me, for example, they're usually the troublemakers. They're usually the ones that are causing the trouble and giving the management team or the restaurant a hard time. They just don't see it that way. It's kind of like my perspective when it came to dating. For years and years and years, Josh, I was telling everyone, oh, I broke up with this girl because she was crazy. And I said that about my last four girlfriends. They were crazy. You know what the end result was? I'm the one that was crazy. not them. If I had the same excuse for every girlfriend I broke up with, it ended up being me. What was the common denominator? It was me. And that's what it comes down to with when we're handling confrontation with our employees. If we have the, you know, two or three servers or kitchen guys who keep coming up to us and complaining, what's the common denominator, dude? It's usually them that's the problem, and they wants to be, he wants to fix it. I have a problem right now with a couple tenants who always bitch and complain. Josh is the same thing. I started ignoring them because they are the problem. The neighbors don't have a problem. They are the problem. And I know you go through the same. And now, unfortunately for you, I've gotten out of the industry and you're stuck in it and you continue to deal with it.
Yeah. So about these girls that you broke up, that you broke it off with, was it really, were you the problem, or did first of all, did they smell like soup, or did any of them have man hands? You can't smell like soup and you can't have man hands. We know that.
Listen, man hands are a problem. That's Jerry
it's
Seinfeld.
Like literally crack really a lobster, rough. A whole lobster. Just
when they wipe the pea soup off your face with their big ass thumb, yeah, it's real awkward.
Yeah. Buck, yeah, I'm still dealing with conflict. I'm still dealing with, confrontation is the way you wanted to put this. So not every confrontation necessarily has to be a conflict.
No.
You know, confrontation is really multifaceted. And, you know, I mean, you're confronting a problem. You might be confronting a person about a situation. It doesn't have to turn into a conflict. You know, it can be a very positive situation. Confronting, an issue that you're having with an employee or whatever. I find that if I approach those conversations calmly and with love and with a good energy about myself, even if I'm upset, if I approach it calmly, the conversation goes a lot better. And even if they don't take it the way I want them to take it, or they get defensive, they get a little bit loud, my tone remains the same. And it hasn't always been that way. You know, I'll be 40.
Tell me about it.
In 5 months, it hasn't always been that way. There were times when I would let my adrenaline go and I would, now I'm start yelling and I'm getting upset. And I raise my voice every now and then still? I mean, it's extremely rare.
Sometimes you have to, though.
In a private confrontation or conflict with an employee, it's usually very calm. And they're like, what's going on? And it goes pretty much how I want it to go. Because I'm guiding it that way with my energy.
Right. So you can manipulate the conversation by your attitude.
Right. Do you think that it's going to go any better by me yelling and belittling somebody over something that really doesn't need to go that way, even if they did something very wrong, or maybe I'm letting them go? Sometimes, more often than not, when I'm letting somebody go, I'm as calm as I've ever been. Like, most of the conflict is inside our own brain. We're worried about how this is going to go when I finally have to let this person go. And we think about it all morning. And when we bring them into the office, it's just like, okay, here's the deal. And they usually are like, okay, I knew that was coming. I suck at my job, or I stole from you, or whatever it is. Like, it never turns out to be as bad as we made it out to be in our mind.
Let me interrupt you. We had this is when you and I were together back in 2011, 2012. There was a server we had who was very rough around the edges, right? And I don't know if you used to do it, but we used to do mystery shops, right? Where we hired an outside company to come in and rate our service. We had criteria that they had to follow. This young lady who was rough around the edges got a putrid score. And we had a rule. If you got under a certain percentage point, you were canned, right? There was different stages. You got a 90 and above, you were fine. You got 9 to 80, you were suspended. If you got 70 below, you were fired, whatever the case was. This young lady fell on the threshold where we were going to fire her. You and I were both off that day, so we let it, we put the onus upon the assistant kitchen manager.
The assistant, yeah.
And the kitchen manager. They both did it.
We couldn't let it go. Right, exactly.
But silently, you and I were talking in private saying, oh my God, this girl's going to kill both of them. She's so rough and tough. She's going to kill both of them in the office. And end up being, they fired her. And she, okay, no problem. Got up and walked out. Didn't say another fucking word.
Right.
Oh my God. It was the strangest thing. Maybe it's how they did it. Or maybe she just realized, this shit's not worth, the conversation's not worth
who
it.
Who knows? I can't even remember. But, my point was that it usually turns out how or it doesn't always, or it doesn't turn out as bad as you make it out to be in your mind, this drama that you play out in your mind. And that's the worst part about confrontation, is all this fucking nonsense drama that other people make of it, or that your mind makes up of it. Usually when the confrontation actually happens, there's not all that much to it. Unless you let it get to a point where it's a blow up, right? You don't manage it right away. You don't confront it right away and have a small conflict. It's going to get to a point where it's worse than it needed to be. Let me ask you this though, Len. More often than not, when there's a confrontation or conflict that needs to happen with a guest, you know, back in the day when you were in the restaurant business in your past life, what did you find that you'd have a server or a bartender come to you and be like, yo, shit's going off at table seven. Like, you're not going to fucking believe this guy. He's squeezing his burger on his kid's head. Fucking going bananas over there. And you get to the table and you're like, hey, my man. And you go over there with your energy, right? And your hair looking good and your shirt tucked in nice. And you're like, my man, what's up? I heard there was – and you approach it right and you have a good energy about you. Usually they're like, nothing, man. I just need some ketchup. Like, thanks.
Hey.
Right?
How many times have you used that analogy? Like, the exaggerations that service put forth to us, and they really just wanted a side of ranch.
Right. So – and that now it drives me to a perfect point, a perfect spot to drop a quote. It is my favorite. It's in my top three quotes of all time. It's posted in my service alley. And I train my managers this way. It's a Wayne Dyer quote. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So if you look at every confrontation as something that's going to blow up, or if you look at every guest that needs to have their food remade as an asshole, that's what you're going to get. You're going to go to that table with a negative energy about you, and you're going to go and you're going to kind of attack them, right? Whereas if you go to that table and you have a positive energy about you and you approach it in a positive manner, more often than not, that's what you're going to get in return. When you change the way you look at it, that thing changes. So when you approach something a certain way, usually that's what you're going to get back. That's what the mirror is going to send back to you. It's that simple. More Josh, often than not, there's times when you seriously, like, you go into something completely kind and you get shit on and you're like, okay, that's, but more often than not, you go into it and you control the vibe. You bring a positive energy to it. More often than not, it plays out perfectly easily.
So I can't tell you how many of the regulars that we built up together that we met, or I met, whatever, because of the initial confrontation of everything. Let's say I'm going to drop a name real quick. George, right? Yeah. I don't think he no longer eats there, but
I haven't seen him in a while.
He was going there for a couple days a week religiously for years, right? My first experience with him was, his prime rib was undercooked. He wanted it well done. He kept getting it medium. Now, to cook a prime rib well done, it's a fucking process, probably, my French. It's not that easy, right?
It shouldn't be done. That's why it shouldn't be done. Right. Never do that.
Right. Well, any normal human being wouldn't eat it that way, but
he's not a normal guy. I hope he listens. I hope he knows.
But I just built such a rapport with him because I was not scared to confront him and actually figure out what he wanted and listen to his needs. He listened to the explanation that I gave him over and over again. And eventually we built this rapport where I was invited to his wedding. We have we exchanged cell phone numbers. We grew a big relationship because I wasn't afraid to confront him in a professional manner. And I switched the narrative to, hey, listen, man, we're sorry we keep screwing it up. I just, please explain it to me. I want to be your friend. I want you to be a regular here. I want you to dine with us. Don't go anywhere else. But I just need to understand what you actually need for us to make this perfect for you. And Josh, after the third or fourth time, we got it perfect for him every single time.
Right. When most younger particularly younger or rougher around the edge managers in our industry, or really any service industry, would have just blown him out. Just been like, oh, all right, enough's enough.
He's an asshole. Forget about him.
Beat it. Like, they would have been frustrated with him. They would have never built the business that you built out of it. And a lot of my regulars, your regulars, many, many regulars over the customer service industry come from concerns.
Right.
That were turned around by somebody, a manager that knew how to confront a situation, to handle a conflict that could have gone very poorly, right? And most guests, most customers don't necessarily want something for free. They want to be heard. They want their problem to be fixed. They want an apology if you really did make a mistake, right? And there are people that are trying to fucking get one over on you. And if you look at it, if you look at every single time that there's an issue, and that's why you're a manager, man. You're there to manage people. You're there to manage conflict. You're there to manage the guests. If you look at everyone like it's a problem, you're going to have more and more problems, right? Instead of just doing your job and managing situations and moving on to the next one, right? And if you're getting into a lot of situations where you have food that's wrong, or you have employees that all their shit's fucked up, and you have asshole guests that are complaining about their food, maybe you need to look at your operation as a whole. Maybe the problem is you, and it's not necessarily the guest, or it's not the employee. Maybe it's something that you're doing.
Hey, man, that goes back to my comment about dating the last four girls I've dated and called them all crazy. And
exactly. The same thing.
The common denominator is I'm the one that's crazy.
Right. It's the same thing.
So
the same idea.
So I'm going to tell one more story, and then I really want to focus on the approach and how you should handle it. You know, because we've talked a lot of stories, whatever, but I really want to tell the younger managers or whoever's in the hospitality industry how you should really, you know, our tact, how we've done it throughout the years and how we really approach the situations. There was a guy, he was a fisherman out of New Bedford. He would come in every 6 months. I won't forget this guy's face to save my life. He'd come in every 6 months. He ordered a 42-inch prime rib, but he wanted it with as little fat as possible. And anyone who's listening, who's ever been in the restaurant industry whatsoever, listen, a cut of ribeye is going to have fat no matter how you slice it, cut it, cook it, whatever. Ribeye, the flavor comes from the marbleization and the fat content. So this guy was annoying to the point where he told me, it was 42-ounce prime rib, came with too much fat on his plate. He literally told me, let's go outside and fight. So where he was sitting to where our kitchen was a straight shot. We came around the corner. I believe it's 113 in your restaurant. Came around the corner. It's a straight shot right to the kitchen. So I said, you know what, buddy? Let's just go outside. I'll meet you outside. No problem. Go outside. I got up. He was sitting down. I got up first. I came out. I took that corner from 113, and I went right in the kitchen, and I watched him go right outside. My tact was, hey, he was a little guy. I would have whooped his ass. I went back to the table, and they all were dying laughing. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's going to whoop your ass. They were apologetic. They were whatever, whatever, whatever. And the long and short of it is he went outside. I wasn't there, obviously. He smoked a cigarette, did whatever he was going to do. He came back, and he was nice and calm. And since that day, he was better with me. He was still an asshole because he thought that we were able to, you know, trim off fucking fat from a ribeye. From a butter ribeye, which is impossible because you're not going to get any flavor from it, bro. But that's just another story of confrontation where I avoided whooping this guy's ass because he didn't understand how food was actually cooked. But what I want to do is for all the young bucks out there, all the veterans who just need some reassurance that they're doing the right thing, or they need a different direction or tact in how to handle confrontation, because the restaurant, bar, taverns, grills, however you want to spin it, are a huge part of our day-to-day lives, a huge part of our economy. They're everywhere. And the managers of these establishments are huge. You guys, I mean, make or break it, whether you like it or not, you know. So we kind of want to throw you some knowledge on how we would handle it, or how we handle it, and hopefully you take a little nugget from it. I'll start, Josh, before you go. Honesty is always the best policy. I won't say never. As of a few years ago, I would never go to a table anymore and bullshit my way out of a situation. I will now go to a table if I ever had the unfortunate situation of actually being a manager in a restaurant again. I will now go to a table. I've done it for years and be honest. Hey, listen, we screwed up. End of the discussion. We screwed up. I need you to tell me how we can fix it. Or here's a free drink. Here's a free salad. Here's a free soup. Your food's going to be out as soon as possible. I'm very sorry. I found for a long time that making excuses or blaming the kitchen or whatever doesn't help at all. Because people nowadays can see through that shit, whether it's the internet or the movies or TV shows. People have learned that the excuse, what the excuses are, and they're done with them. Just be honest and upfront. Take the full accountability and move on with it. Figure out how you can help them, and that's the end of it. What do you think, brother?
Oh, absolutely. Honesty is the best policy, and that's not even necessarily from the manager, because the manager usually is going to be honest. It's the server that goes over there that's like, the kitchen lost your ticket.
Right,
like,
right.
Fuck off. Like, and we've always taught every server, like, if there's a situation where you forget to ring in food or we do make a mistake in the kitchen, you don't need to do that. Just tell them honestly what took place. And chances are we're going to buy it anyway. And the server's going to make a great tip off of it anyway. Right. No but problem. They usually want to blame the kitchen. Most servers will blame the kitchen for some reason, stupidly, because now they're like, well, this kitchen doesn't know what's going on. Every time I come here, the food's going to be fucked up, instead of going, hey, I, as your server, made the mistake. This one's on me.
There you go.
The manager's going to handle that. I will say, just to add to your point, act swiftly. You know, never ever. God. I've taught every manager.
Proactive over reactive.
Right. So say you drop their food. You can't wait 15 minutes and then bring their food up over after they waited now a half hour.
Right.
You know, it got dropped on the floor or whatever. Or say their steak has to get recooked and you're busy. You got a lot of things going on. Their steak has to get cooked again because it wasn't cooked right. And you show up at the table 15 minutes later, you already lost. Like, that guest
you're
is
done.
Your
you're
done. Just
get,
now. And
just
you
just get to the table.
Right, because you don't want to deal with it until you have the food. Like, go over there immediately. Hey, I know what's going on. You know, I'm really sorry that happened. They're like, okay, he's got it. He or she has his shit together. He knows what happened here.
Right.
There's a lot of people, they are going to overreact, especially if you let them sit there for 15 minutes. I might overreact. If you let me sit there for 15 minutes after my food was fucked up, I might overreact. You know, now think about Joe Schmo, who orders a 6-ounce steak, well done, right?
Right.
I mean, think about who's going to overreact in that situation. So act swiftly, act honestly, act calmly, and always, always apologize. It's better to be kind than it is to be right. This guy might be totally clueless, and he, you know what? If he's making a mistake and he's ordering his food right wrong, you might want to tell him that just so he gets it right the next time, kindly, yeah. without being condescending
and
being a dick.
But you can say it the right way.
Right. You're just trying to educate him, right? But if there is a situation where you have a chance to just bite your tongue just to make the guest feel good, bite your tongue. Like, you don't have to be right in every situation. Like, you don't have to belittle a guest. You don't have to belittle an employee either. You know, you might need to educate them, the employee or the guest. But
you're not
never
lose
belittle
any
somebody
I
and make them feel like
you
just needed to get the one up on them. I'm right. I know this. You know, it might make you feel better for a minute, but in the end, you're not going to win anything from it. Trust me. I've been on both sides of it.
You will not lose any sleep, I promise you. You'll actually feel better about yourself if you take accountability for the restaurant's actions, and which is
ultimately, you're going to win people over and grow sales. No doubt about it.
That's it.
They're
your actions, because you're in charge and you are growing your sales for the future, and that's all we care about is growing sales. Right. Take your pride and shove it up your ass, because all we want to do is grow sales in the future. If you want to be successful in any hospitality industry, it's not about the dollar bill you're going to make right now, or it's not about that asshole that's sitting at table two. It's about the longevity of your sales.
So
get it out of your head.
Friend.
Take your pride and fucking be gone with it. Joshua, he is
best,
Josh G. What's that?
Best advice you've given on this episode. Take your pride and shove it up your ass. It's not about
shove
you.
Shove it up your ass, baby.
You might feel better in that very instance, but guess what? You just lost a customer for life. Whereas if you just bit it,
the tip for your server.
Right. If you just bit it, eat it. Like, swallow your pride. We know you're right. Like, it's, but it's not about
you. Who cares?
You.
Like, make what does feel it matter? Good. What does it matter if you know that medium well is a slight pink center and they don't? What does it matter to you? It doesn't matter. Make them happy. Grow your sales. Build business. Get yourself a raise. Get yourself a bonus. Get yourself a promotion. Get your server a big tip. The world is endless if you just suck it up.
I think the easiest way to sum it all up, when it comes to these confrontations and these conflicts, the easiest way to understand it, to put it in perspective, not even just talking about swallowing your pride, which is important, but everybody can think about how they'd want to be treated, right? When you, if you're an employee, if you're sitting down at a table, you know, I ask people in interviews all the time, like, what do you think is good service? What does it mean to you? What types of things do you look for when you're sitting there, when you're at the table? Right. So when I'm dealing with a guest, I want, or I'm teaching people how to deal with guests, I say, put yourself on the other side of the table and think about how you'd want it to be handled by that manager. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for conflicts with employees, right? Think about how you'd want to be spoken to if you made a mistake or if you flat out, you know, screwed something up. And furthermore, people with children, you know, I think about now how, if I'm speaking to somebody that made a mistake, was late, or just a dumb stuff, how would I want Alana to be spoken to, my 12-year-old daughter, in her job? How would I want her to be dealt with, right?
Without firing me up.
Right, right. You don't have to belittle anybody. I would want her to be spoken to calmly, honestly, and I would want her to learn something from it.
Right.
So I think that's how we should approach it always. Now, somebody might some discipline involved, but always, always think about how you would want to be treated, how you would want your loved ones to be treated, and be kind at all times. Be kind at all times. Doesn't matter. Swallow your pride.
So this is, we're on a streak right now. It's like 2 or 3 episodes in a row where you've just absolutely closed it out with some strong words that I truly believe in. He is Josh G1226. You need to follow him on Instagram and Snapchat. If not, you got to follow us on Be the Top Shelf. Oh my God. I love you so much, Josh. That's it. Wrapping it up. On Sunday, we have 2 special guests, Danny and Abby. We're going to be talking about crazy first dates. Josh doesn't remember a first date to save his life because it's been 59 years. But we'll talk about it. Catch us on Sunday. Thanks for joining us today. Love you all. Have a good night.
How do they get on?
Thank you for enjoying this episode of The Top Shelf. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Our music was created by Slater. That's SLDR_music. And as always, have an amazing day.